Hello, everybody. This is show creator Theodore Andrew Oberstoff, and welcome to the season one finale. Coming up soon will be season two, and along with it, the music of Arctos Volume 2, Fearful and Wonderful. You'll want to stay tuned to our website, which is www.thearctoschronicles.net. And there will be an announcement for the release of that album, which will be very soon, so stay tuned.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Arctos Chronicles. We appreciate all of you who listen, from Arlington to Austria, from Moscow to Melbourne. The fact you listen means everything to us. And now we hope you will enjoy the season one finale, Routes in Return.
I'm calling it. Time of death. 9:05 p.m. I'll tell her.
Husband. Mr. Schimmel? Mr. Schimmel. Mr. Schimmel, I'm so sorry. Your wife passed away.
Doctor, I am Joe Schimmel's friend. Please give us some time, and then it may be that Joe will have some questions, most likely.
Absolutely, Mr. Thunder.
If I may, Doctor, I do have one question. Who is the man in the long raincoat who has been checking in on Dolores? I didn't think just anybody could come in like that.
You are quite correct, Mr. Thunder. He is, however, an officer of the law. Due to the horrible circumstances surrounding the fatality of Mrs. Schimmel, he has been here as part of his ongoing investigation. He said his name was Smith when I asked. Oddly, he signed in at the front desk as Drum. Must be some sort of first name, shorthand, or something of the sort.
Traveling between place and time, both Nicholas and Mr. Frost ride the currents of amplitude modulation.
Nicholas?
Mr. Frost.
In no time at all, the two men alight upon the ancient road before the dual cathedrals of East and West. Mr. Frost immediately walks between them and disappears from sight.
Grandfather Frost, Tina and Arctos are in immediate peril. We ask for your intercession.
The grandfather comes forth, each step of his feet falling with an ominous thud upon the ancient road. Grief contorts his countenance, for he knows all that has taken place. However, there is also great resolve in his shining eyes.
I am entirely aware of why you have sought me out, Nicholas. Ginger yet lurks in our midst and has been full of mischief. She has ushered in a giant, a Nephilim.
Let me guess, Grandfather. The Nephilim is wearing the appearance of Inspector Polly Drum. Bob.
That is correct. And it is he who ravaged and murdered Dolores Schimmel.
What would you have me do, Grandfather?
We're all going to care for the boys, for Schimmel and Thunder. They will need guidance in their grief and dismay. It's time to bring Mike Thunder to the Oasis and make him whole once again. It is time for him to share in the work of the Watchers.
And Joseph Schimmel, what may I do for him at this time?
He will approach me here. I am going to bring him into the cathedrals. But first, I am going to rout the enemies and close our borders. Arctos has been attacked, and the enemies must be driven down, back into the lower 48. And as for Ginger and the Giant, they're going to the Nether and will not rise again.
Greetings, greetings, Tina Towners. This is Blake Easy with an important travel advisory. If you were thinking of traveling south, outside the circle, please put a hold on what I'm sure are awesomely groovy plans. As of today, the Arctos borders are locked down, and if you travel outside our territory, you may not be able to return for a good long while. The bright side is that spring has arrived in Tina, and the tide is turning.
The lines between the seen and the unseen are in flux. Potentates, dominions, and virtues have all been called into motion. Even Little Wolf, our favorite otter, turns back from the edge of Tina and heads back to the safety of the sea. Meanwhile, at Pavel's Tavern...
Ivan, my son!
Yes, Papa?
Ivan, my son!
Yes, Papa?
Ivan, my son!
Papa, I'm right here.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Ivan, help me lock shutters and bar doorway. This is mighty storm upon us all.
But, Papa, it's perfectly calm outside.
My sonook, my son. There are various storms in life, to be sure. There are storms that are seen, and those which are unseen. This is storm of the unseen variety. Bar door.
As young Ivan goes to secure the front door of the tavern, he sees Tilly, the love of his life, standing in the middle of the ancient road, gazing upwardly. She is transfixed, as if paralyzed by what she sees.
Director's notes. The rout has begun, and Grandfather Frost is driving any evil which might have slunk into Arctos out of the region. As the Grandfather drives out these unclean spirits and people, the evils seek to scorch the earth all they can on their way out. Young Tilly, her heart broken over the situation with Ivan, finds herself vulnerable to these shades, shades which appear as dark clouds moving rapidly to the south. They whisper dark thoughts into her aching heart as they pass through. As young Ivan nears Tilly, he sees her despair, tears cascading down her cheeks. But before he can get to her, she collapses onto the snow-packed ancient road and does not respond as he cradles her and weeps over her.
She's gone.
My last reserve.
Tainochka, my dear goy, my dears, did I ever tell story of how my father first brought group of outcasts into this area and founded town of Tina? Well, it is a good story for evening like this. Early spring sunshine lightening our days, and yet such dark clouds fleeing Arctos, down into the lower 48. Did I tell you, beloved Tina, that I was first born in New Town when the settlers arrived? Da, it's true. My papa, Nicholas, led many people away from Soviet tyranny and into this Arctos freedom. And now we see the same evil arising in the south, threatening the sacred borders of our pristine geography and all that we live for. Not to worry, dear Tina. As great Russian playwright Bill Shakespearsky once wrote, there are bigger things than are dreamed of in your philosophy, my Horoskovich. And there are greater things and peoples at work here in Arctos then are recalled in the lower 48. Now, when Tina was first established, Nicholas and the others reasonably feared that communists would follow them and harass them, even perhaps kill them. Every one of our group had, as they say, something wrong with them. Each of them was diagnosed with some sort of mental malady, what they called a disorder. Some were quite depressed or anxious. They lived in Soviet Union, so go figure this out. Some did have some organic trouble, such as dissociative disease, or they were bipolar or even schizophrenic. But two wondrous things took place when they first stopped here and established China. Nicholas called together a divine council, a select group of them to pray, to seek wisdom, to ask Bog Most High for protection and healing. And that is exactly when Mr. Frost arrived. And along with his friendship, there came also an atoning, a covering of protection and healing for everything, for all of us. Let me explain by saying somehow Mr. Frost, and I cannot tell you how, concealed our presence from Soviet scouts who indeed had been sent to track us and finish us off. All of this is to say to you tonight, dearest Tina, and all of Arctos, that we are cared for and are never alone. We are under divine protection, спасибо Бог. I do not know the extent of this present storm, but I do not worry, and neither should you, my loves. What else can I tell you this evening, dearest Tina? I know you want to know more about how is it that Nicholas is my father. He is so young, and poor Dick, I am so old. Well, another story for another time, Mr. Kipling.
Director's notes. I find myself in unnavigated waters. I am the director, and yet I do not know who I am. I see what others do not see, and yet I cannot relate to anybody what is implied and what is to come of it all. But wherein the seen and the unseen brush up alongside one another, where they dance, where they touch, I am called, I am compelled to relate that which I see to you all. You all. I don't even know who you all are. Camera angle. Mike Thunder is dangerously underdressed. Although it is springtime, it remains bitterly cold. He searches endless white plains, searching for that golden doorway to the oasis. Why am I feeling such strong empathy? Thunder calls out for Nicholas. He calls out to be heard. Where is his soul? Where is his child?
Where are you, Nicholas? Come out and answer like a man, if a man you be at all. Come out! Enough!
Enough is enough!
Enough is enough!
Enough is enough!
Wait, who is that?
I am the...
I hear you! Who are you?
I am Michel Thunder.
What the...
Michel! Come to me. You're going to freeze to death.
Nicholas, I don't understand. I don't understand anything. Something killed Dolores and...
I don't understand.
I don't understand, and I can't do this any longer. Please don't make us do this any longer. I can't. Joey Schimmel can't.
Come, dearest Michelle. Come with me now, because your time is upon you. It is your time to be whole once again.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, God.
Director's notes. The golden doorway into the oasis sizzles in the half-light of the Arctos spring evening. At the urging of Nicholas, we all enter in.
Walking northward upon the ancient road, Mr. Frost upholds Joe Schimmel in every way.
Weakened by the long hours spent at the hospital, Joe leans on Mr. Frost for stability as they walk. He weeps and is then quiet. He trembles and then is still. At last, they stand before the dual cathedrals.
Joseph, we have arrived.
Mr. Schimmel lifts his ravaged countenance to behold the indomitable spires of the tremendous bastion.
I must enter first. Then the grandfather will come out in order to receive you in.
Well, whatever. But I'm freezing here.
I am sorry that you suffer any more than you already do. I will be quick about it.
Mr. Frost rushes toward the expansive entryway and seems to meld into the falling snow. Schimmel's chin drops to his chest as he falls to his knees. And then he is surrounded with an unearthly warmth that permeates his entire being. He opens his eyes and discovers that he is now kneeling in the greatest great room he might have ever imagined. There is a fireplace so large that it is nearly as tall as himself. Of much greater stature than this is Grandfather Frost. Joseph looks into the grandfather's eyes, eyes brimming with love and empathy for him. All at once, the grieving widower knows he is in the company of someone where no words are necessary and no explanation is required. And like a child, Joe crawls onto the carpeted hearth and falls fast asleep.
Welcome to the Oasis, Michelle.
You've been so tortured, Michelle. Not only separated from your child, your soul, you have also been apart from the conscience of your soul as well, your noose. We have called him the Director. As the three of you come together once again, you will find all things new. The capacity of love and belief that comes from the child. The capacity for percipience which comes from the Director. And the humanity, your humanity, with which you have wrestled all these years. Are you ready, Michelle?
All I can do is wag my head and follow after Nicholas as he leads me forward along a woodland path. From far across the open meadow, I spot the familiar form of my child.
My child? It's him! It's me!
As the child draws near, the Director also appears, a faint shadow of a man. Nicholas halts beside a large, effervescent pool. The three forms of Michelle come together in something of a huddle, embracing one another. But then all turn to face Nicholas. He stands in the pool, waist deep.
Nicholas, aren't we all supposed to, I don't know, join together in some way?
The child instinctively knows what to do. He heads toward Nicholas, but stopping at the water's edge, turns back to Mike.
And a child shall lead them all.
The expressions of both Mike and the Director flush with hope and anticipation. The child wiggles his eyebrows, turning into the depths of the pool, and he beckons to the men.
Come on!
It was only 3 days ago, the child came knocking on my brain. But do you want to come play with me? Or are you gonna stay inside again? I was frightened by the me I'd known before CGI and cellular phones. But do you want to come out and play? The child's ultimatum was come or stay. play with me. Remember all the dreams you had, and that it's never too late. Judge them up, we'll have a go again. But play with me. Big me, you're horrified by what's been done to me. You've aged and you have given up. I only want you to dream again. Just begin to breathe again. Come play.
Time has passed. Mike Thunder now sits in the break room of KARC 1400 on the AM dial. Across from him sits Nicholas. Both men cradle their coffee mugs, enjoying the serenity of silence. Have you thought about what you would like to do next, Michelle?
Next? I don't know. My head is swimming with all the events that just happened. I mean, the Oasis, for one. Oh my gosh. I am just absorbing what it is to feel whole again. But there's the matter of Dolores Schimmel. I mean, somebody killed her.
Remember that the prescience of the director is you as well. You now have a gift, Michelle. Tap into that part of you and consider beyond what you thought you knew.
It was that thing. The one who hired Bob or Polly Drum.
Yes. And what else does the director tell you?
A giant? A Nephilim? He made his way into Tina, into Arctos.
Indeed. Grandfather Frost has routed all and any sliver of enemy presence from Tina. And now he is caring for your dearest friend Joseph.
Mr. Schimmel.
Yes.
You asked about what's next. What is next? Where do we even go from here?
When you are ready, I'm going to put you to the work for which you have been called. Even as I rescued you as a child, I told you that there was work for you to do.
I thought you meant KARC, the circle.
And that has certainly been a delight. But no, you were chosen so that you might share in the work done by me and many others. I see you just came up with a zillion questions. Suffice it to say that we run interference in the matters of mankind. For those of us in Arctos, we are focused primarily on the affairs of what we refer to as the Lower 48.
The United States mainland?
Well, that's correct, of course. And you're referring to geography. The geography to which we refer as the Lower 48 is all that goes on there, but is unseen by human eyes. People have no idea what is going on about them each and every day. They know their loves and their struggles, and they confront them on one level. We help them. We confront these things on an entirely different, though not separate, level.
I am overwhelmed.
Precisely. And that is why your first job will be as a simple watcher.
A watcher?
Correct.
We have another somebody, somebody not entirely different than yourself. He too has an enormous role to play. Akin to your own journey, his first predicament is not at all pleasant. He is about to be admitted to a Seattle mental facility following a 30-year career as a church pastor. He is absolutely spent.
What can I do for him?
Watch him. Sit with him. Just be present. It will teach you further patience and will give you time to learn to listen to your child and the director. The man will not be aware of you for the most part, not to begin with, but that will change. Your job? Be present. Send me reports.
I'm so in over my head.
Remember that.
And who is that I am watching?
His name is Alexander Bastion.
Thank you again for tuning in to the Arctos Chronicles. Join us again in June for the beginning of Season 2.